For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Tonight, as we come joyfully around the Word of God, Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the life, the eternal life you've given us, for the strength through Christ you've given us, for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we ask that tonight you speak to our hearts by your Spirit, and we will be obedient, and we will hear in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at our profession of faith. If you haven't already done so, you need to listen to Called According to God's Purpose, Parts 1 and 2. You can get those on CD or off the internet. We're going to be leading into our profession of faith tonight, and it's based on the calling that we have. Obviously, we have been called out of darkness, and we have a bright future because we are children of light. We've learnt about that. But the Bible says we are the called according to God's purpose. Praise God. So let's have a look at Romans 8, verses 26 to 34, first of all. And in this, we see very clearly that God has a plan for his people. He does not expect his people to be lazy. He does not expect his people to lack the will to go on. He does not expect his people to be in depression, but to in fact be filled with faith and joy and peace in believing. In other words, he expects us to be believers. And God has a purpose for us. So let's read this, starting from verse 26 of Romans 8. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So we have the Lord Jesus making intercession for the saints, and we praise him for that. We know, for example, it says in verse 34, if we just have a quick look down there, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So we see he's making intercession for the saints, for us who are born again, according to the will of God. What does that mean? It means that he is showing and pleading our cause, who and what we are now in Christ. We are no longer defeated. We are no longer the cursed. We are no longer outside of what God wants for us. And so verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So remember what we said the other day. It's no use just saying all things work together for good for me. No, it's got to be, I love the Lord, therefore I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. I'm willing to serve the Master. I love him, not just with lip service, but with the heart. And I know that I am the called according to his purpose. There is purpose in my life. I'm not called to be sitting in front of the TV all day. I'm not called to be doing things of the flesh and of the world all day. I am called to do things what the Lord wants me to do. I am called to be his servant, to do his will, praise the Lord. And I know that because of that, because I am going forward in Christ, all things work together for my good, praise the Lord. So you have that attitude, you have that confession in your mouth, and things all around you will work together. That's the promise, praise the Lord. Verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow," well, that's you and me, "he knew about you before you were born." Okay, he knew about you before the world was even formed. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the image of his Son. We are to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are conformed to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, each individual has a path towards that conformity. We're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. Can you see the difference? The world is at variance with God. There is a renegade spirit over the world, that is Satan. He's called God, little g, God of this world. He's the spiritual leader of the world. He has rebelled against God, and he is the leader of all those that are in darkness now. Okay, but you're not in darkness if you've come into Christ. You are now a child of the light, and now there is a purpose in your life, and that purpose is bringing you along, being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn, talking about Christ as the firstborn among many brethren. So God wants many, just like Jesus, praise the Lord. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, what? Called. You are called. You are called. You are the called according to God's purpose. You are called. And whom he called, them he also justified. So you responded to his calling initially, that the Lord Jesus Christ has a claim on your life, that you needed him as your Saviour, and you need him as your Saviour now. You need him. You need him every day. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. So we need him. We rely on him. We have him in us. Praise the Lord. And notice it says, and whom he called, them he also justified. We've been made right with God. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So glorified gives you a picture of light, doesn't it? So you come out of darkness, you're in light now. You're no longer in the darkness, stumbling and not able to know what direction you're going. Because those in darkness, you only have to listen to their conversations, of which I heard one today, and it's all about not knowing what the future holds, and a very limited view of life and so on. So, and certainly many people have very, very little understanding of eternal things. But that shouldn't be us, because we've been called, justified, glorified in Christ. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So God is not against you, he's all for you. And he's wanting you to get in line with the way of blessing. With the way of blessing. That means to be conformed to the image of Christ, away from conformity to the world. And we won't turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that we are no longer living unto ourselves, but living unto Christ. So our lives, we've been purchased, bought with a price, the Bible says. That price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are people that are servants unto righteousness, servants of righteousness, servants of God, living not for ourselves, not unto ourselves, but we have a purpose, living according to what God wants. Praise the Lord. Now keep that in mind, because now we're going to have a look at, in more detail, about the profession of our faith. What does the word profession mean? And look at that in more detail. Have a look at Hebrews 3 verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 3 verses 1 and 2. Now God is good, God is good. His purpose for us extends not just in this life, but right past this life, because there are things such as rewards and things that are going to be eternal as a result of us living our profession of faith on the earth now. Okay, there's many people who call themselves Christians whose witness is very sad. And in fact, there's many people who call themselves Christians who really aren't Christians. So Hebrews 3 verses 1 and 2, notice what it says here. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's you and me, partakers of the heavenly calling. We read about that calling before. Okay, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So this is important for us to get hold of. We've been made holy, separated, sanctified. We are partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, if there's a calling on your life, you've been called out of darkness. You have a call. You are either called according to God's purpose. You have a purpose. You need to be asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? I know that I'm to be conformed to the image of Christ, but what do you want me to do, Lord, so that I can fulfill that calling that you've given me, a heavenly calling? Now it says, consider. That means look at, examine. Make sure you realize and understand. Consider the apostle. Now, the word apostle is one who's cutting through, a breakthrough, a great leader and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The high priest is the one who is the mediator between God and man for us. We know that the high priest of our profession means that we have a profession now. If you think about what that means, we are professing something. What are we professing? We're professing that we belong to Christ. We're professing to be Christians. We're professing to be blessed. We are living a life which reflects our profession. You know, in the world, if someone professes to be, let's say, an architect, then their work will be around working along the lines of that profession of architecture. Now, we see here that if we profess to be a Christian, there is attached to that profession the way we speak, the way we act, and how we go about our activities. And Jesus Christ is the one we should be considering. And you can see the connection in verse 2, who was faithful. So we also should be faithful. We should be faithful to the Word of God, faithful to what the Lord has called us to do. And so if the Lord has called you, then you have to make sure you know what that calling is and understand and be faithful to it. And he gives the example of Moses there, who was faithful in all his house as well. So the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to God that appointed him. We all have appointments. Okay, there's appointments that have been given. That's not just appointments to ministerial offices such as pastor or evangelist or teacher or elder. No, we all as Christians have appointments. We are appointed to do something. Not appointed to do nothing. And this is the big thing. And the Lord gave me a word, and you've heard it. I've said it several times now, that God said, my people, talking about today, my people have been given five fingers, and yet very few of them are lifting even one finger. I said to the Lord, well, don't we have 10 fingers? He said, yes, but they've got to use the five I've given them, and then I'll be able to add to the graces and they'll have 10. They'll be at their full potential. Very few are even at the moment lifting up one little finger to do what God wants. And yet they have all these talents and abilities and so on that God has given them. all those enablings and graces that God has given them, not to spend and do on their own lusts, but to serve Him as He has called us, as He has called us to a profession. He's given, notice what it says there, our profession. We have a profession. Look at Hebrews 4. We'll start from verse 12 and go to verse 16. Just go back, or we'll go forward a little bit. Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. So everything we do must be in line with the Word of God. And of course, the Lord is the author of the Word of God, the Bible. And so He can communicate to you as you're open in your spirit. And we see this in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So it can get right down deep in there. That's what the word of God is. It's powerful. It's quick. It's alive. It's sharp. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it can fix up all types of things in the heart. Okay, we have to be ready to repent if necessary, to get our hearts right with the Lord, get it in line with the Word. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, who's that? Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. This it says, hold fast our profession. Hold fast. Okay, so hold fast means you don't give up on it. You don't let go. You don't think, well, the circumstances are all against me and I'm not going to profess to be a Christian anymore. Oh, I'll give up on faith. Doesn't work anyway, does it? Or the Bible's full of error, etc., etc. But, you know, God says, consider your ways. Don't assume the Bible's wrong. Don't assume God's wrong. But consider your ways. Look into what has been happening with yourself. Examine your heart and so on. So, hold fast. Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you'll come in times of need, but you don't give up. You come boldly to the throne of grace. You realize that you have a great redemption. You understand what the Scripture has to say about who and what you are in Christ. You're not a little worm. You're not under the circumstances. You are the called according to His purpose. You are strong in Christ. You are risen with Christ. He is alive and you are alive. We are seated in heavenly places. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We can go on and on, but you have to realize the great redemption that you have and put it into your heart, the word of God about this, into your heart and into your mouth. That's what the Bible says that we need to do. The word has to be in our heart and in our mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach, the Bible says. So let us come boldly under the throne of grace with joy, saying, thank you, Lord. You are the provider. You are the one that puts me through. And I'm not going to let go because of obstacles or because of things in the way or because this has happened or that has happened or this seems to be like that. No! I walk by faith, not by sight. I go forward. And my foundation is the word of God. I'm building my house upon the rock of God's word. Praise the Lord. So we see that the profession, holding fast, the profession is the outworking of our faith whilst living in an evil world. Because there's a lot of pressures against us living by faith. A lot of pressures against that. Have a look at Philippians 2, 12 to 16. Philippians 2, 12 to 16. This talks about what we're living in the midst of. We're not living in a neutral environment when we're on the earth. I think we should all realise that. And so it's no use getting depressed or worried about it, but to look into the Word and to see what you are and what you have in Christ. Okay, so Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled, which implies that you have the ability in Christ to not let your heart be troubled. So we see in Philippians chapter 2, start from verse 12, we'll go to verse 16. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So working out your own salvation is a bit of a mystery if you only think salvation is being saved from sin. But if you understand that salvation is for the whole man, spirit, soul and body, you'll understand that it encompasses all the blessings of God. When it's talking about work out your own salvation, it's making sure that you appropriate, you take hold of what has been provided in Christ. Healing, blessing, deliverance, strength, prosperity and so on. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is working in you. We should say that. God is working in me. Let's say that now. God is working in me. Praise the Lord. He's working in us. He's working in us. God is working in us. It says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Okay, so there's good things for you. Verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." It's very important that you don't allow yourself to be drawn into the negative flow of the world, where there's lots of what? Murmurings and disputings. But we're told to do some things without murmurings and disputings. No, it says do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. Oh, but that person did such and such a thing against me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Notice what it says in verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And you are called to shine as a light in the world. Jesus came into the world. The Bible says he was light. He came into the world, into the darkness. We now have been glorified through him. In other words, we are now light in God. And we are to shine as lights in the world. You cannot do that if you are murmuring, disputing, fearing, all types of contradictions in your life against the word. But it says in verse 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." How do you do that? Verse 16 tells us, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain." So we are lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. God's word is truth. We're holding that forth. And so our profession of faith is to, yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, a nation. We are in that midst, but we are not to be like that. We're not to be along the lines of the world, like complaining and bitterness and all types of things that are going to sap any faith out of you? No. We are to be people that are shining as lights, holding forth the word of life. And isn't that what Jesus did when he was on earth? The Bible says he preached the word. He was the mightiest preacher that this planet has ever seen. He's the mightiest preacher ever. And we should be conformed to the image of Jesus and doing our part to hold forth the word of life in this dark world, this sinful world. If we don't do it, then we're not doing what we have been called to do. We are not doing our profession the way God wants us to do it. We're not holding fast to our profession. And that is every Christian's duty in God. Every person is called according to God's purpose to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. Our profession of faith is in front of other people. Okay, let's go back to that architect example. Imagine an architect and he doesn't do anything to improve or to go forward or put any effort into their profession. What type of work will they have to present to others? Not very good. Now we know we have to put effort. We have to, as we saw before, work out our own salvation. We have to be people that are, even though we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we're doing the will of God and holding forth the word of life. We cannot be people that are murmuring and complaining. We cannot be people that are going along the lines of the world's ways of doing things. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Looking at verses 11 and 12. And notice what it says here. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. This is all part of your profession, isn't it? All part of your profession to follow after that. And notice what it says in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And that's talking about the witnesses all around you, okay? All around you, there's people looking at you. When people know that you're a Christian, they look at you. What type of witness is this person presenting? What type of profession of their faith are they presenting? How are they presenting themselves and, in fact, representing Christ? So they're looking at you. They might not know everything about you, or you may not have said very much to them. Sometimes it only takes a word. But as we are the called according to God's purpose, we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. So they have to see Christ in us. How many people who profess to be Christians have a witness that's the opposite of what this verse is saying, which is a good profession? How many are doing the very opposite and having a bad profession? So notice what it says in verse 12. We have to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. A good profession. You've got to fight. You've got to fight. You don't just lay down and say, well, everything's against me. And you say, life is but a vapor whilst I'm here, and I'm going to fight for the decades or years or days that I'm here. I'm not going to have a limited view of where I'm going or who I am. And have a viewpoint according to the word of God. Praise the Lord. So fight. Lastly, we'll look at Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. And once again, you'll see how the profession must be outworked in our life. The profession of our faith must be outworked in our life. You also see how some people are very deficient in their profession. You know, some people, I believe, don't come to church because they don't like being challenged or provoked unto good works. And they need it. They absolutely need it. Absolutely. Starting from verse 23 of Hebrews 10. That's what it says here. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. So he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful. He's faithful. And his promises are faithful. And we are to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. Going forward without wavering. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word provoke, it's not a comfortable word, is it? But it's a necessary word. And one of the functions of coming to church and being a part of the body of Christ is to be provoked unto love and to good works. To be provoked. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So exhortation is amongst the brethren as well. Exhortation. So how can you have a profession of faith? How can you hold the profession of faith without wavering if you're not willing to be provoked? If you're not willing to assemble yourself together with others of the same mind and heart? If you're not willing to be exhorted through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, how can you if you're not willing for that? But more, it's saying, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that we are called according to your purpose in our life. And we do have a profession now, a profession of faith. Lord, I pray that all of us will see the importance of not wavering in that profession of faith, but understanding who and what we are in Christ and how we are to live in the midst of an evil world. I pray that you strengthen us, you persist with us, and you show us more and more your mercy and grace and love. Let every person here be blessed abundantly and come into a greater knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are now to shine as lights in this world and to hold forth the word of life. And we will do that diligently, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.